A reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. I see the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 22, starting to read at verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
It's a privilege to speak at this civic service as we celebrate the coronation of King Charles III. I have to confess, though, to feeling slightly anxious. You see, I am a cleric in the nonconformist tradition, and a Baptist one to boot. In 1613, one of my Baptist forebears, Thomas Helwys, wrote a booklet and sent it to one of King Charles' forebears, James I. The pamphlet was called A Short Declaration of the Mystery of Iniquity, quite a snappy title in its day, which, amongst other things, defended the right of all to religious liberty, in other words, to worship God or not in the way that suited them. It seems that the king disagreed with Helwys, for he had him imprisoned in Newgate Jail, where he died in 1616. So you can see why I might be nervous. And if I am marched down to the old jail in Buckingham at the end of this sermon, or even before that, I'll know it has not gone well. And yet, I feel that King Charles would have a lot of empathy with Helwys. Back in 1994, he spoke of his desire to be defender of faith rather than defender of the faith. He was criticized at the time, not least from those within the Christian church, but more recently he has clarified his position. In a 2015 interview with BBC Radio 2, he said, "As I tried to describe, I mind about the inclusion of other people's faiths and their freedom to worship in this country. And it's always seemed to me that while at the same time being defender of the faith, you can also be protector of faiths." And to me, those sentiments are entirely appropriate in our modern day multicultural society. Whatever our religious beliefs or lack thereof, we should surely support the right of others to practice their faiths in the way that they choose. Liberty and justice demand it. And yet, all too often, our beliefs divide us. Religious, political, philosophical. Is there something that might unite us? And I believe it is service. The big idea of King Charles is an encouragement to look beyond ourselves and to serve our fellow human beings. And in this, he is emulating the one for whom he is defender of the faith. Our reading from Luke's Gospel is an interesting one. It was one of these suggested readings for civic services such as this. And it comes in the context of the Last Supper, in which Jesus has given the disciples bread and wine as a sign of the sacrifice that he is about to make, symbols of his body and blood, which will be broken and shed on the cross. And just moments after this solemn occasion, the disciples argue about which one of them is the greatest. Jesus has been serving them bread and wine, but instead of turning this act of service outwards, they turn it inward and serve their own ends. They seek personal recognition for themselves. They covet a higher status over others. These are things that may be very familiar to us from the worlds of business, of politics, and life in general. Grab what you can while you can. And yet Jesus turns conventional opinion on its head. Don't be like the kings who lord it over others, he says. Don't act like the greatest, even if that is how others regard you. Don't be self-serving. Instead, be selfless in serving. What might it mean for us to be selfless in service? Here are a few ideas. It would mean, I believe, that we always seek the good of others before our own good. It would mean that we always look for the best in others whilst being the best we can. It would mean that we give time, skills, money without expecting anything in return. It would mean that we consider no one to be beneath us and all to be at least our equal. It would mean that we are willing to have even the most unlikely people serve us. It would mean that we serve not only as a means to an end, but as an end in itself. It would mean that we recognize, as Justin Welby stated yesterday, that service is love in action. And this is completely in line with the Christian faith and with the other faiths that Charles protects. Jesus asks his warring disciples a rhetorical question: for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. There is a much repeated saying from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. We could say that Charles, our new king, was born to greatness. From as early as he's been able to understand, he will have known that he would one day be king. And that is beyond his control. He may one day have greatness thrust upon him, and that too may not be of his choosing. And yet it may be through serving our nations and Commonwealth and encouraging us to serve that Charles achieves greatness. I loved that the coronation opened with words spoken by a child. Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings. And I was heartened by the reply of Charles. In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve. Christians believe that there is no higher king than Jesus, the King of Kings. And this is the one before whom Charles yesterday made his promises. And this higher king, Jesus the Christ, was willing to serve others even to the cost of his own life on the cross. I believe that King Charles will serve us well. He already has for many years. And for him, as for us, it is often that as we bless others with acts of service, we are ourselves blessed. It feels good to serve. It gives purpose. And like us, Charles will face the question, will we be selfless in serving others? Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice. That is the challenge that comes to each of us from the life and from the death of Jesus. Let me finish with the words of a modern hymn concerning Jesus. The King of Kings, whom I, and I know many of you, seek to serve. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Amen.